is in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It's in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. So Psalm 127 is showing us two options, two ideas for building. And I'm talking about a spiritual house, spiritual family that God's building, 1 Peter 2:5. So the first idea that we see here is that there is a house that's worth building, okay? There is an aim, there's a way to go that's worth doing. That's the house that the Lord builds, okay? That's a house we want to build. We want to be part of that. The second idea is that there is a house that is absolutely not worth building. And it is absolutely a waste of your time and a waste of your life. That's the house that's built without the Lord. We don't want to do that. We don't want any part of that. Now, someone read verse 1 and says, unless the Lord does it, you're doing it in vain. They would read verse 1 and say, see, if God wants it built, he'll do it, and we'll just sit here, okay? That's a weird kind of fatalism that you're working with, and I'll bet the person that would think that has a less than ideal life, doesn't take much responsibility for their life, and is waiting around for their life to get better rather than doing something about, okay? We believe we are happy about God's sovereignty. We're happy about how God is in control and working things out, and we're happy about the responsibility he's given us to partner with him in that. So let's ask, if God is building a house, and we believe that he is, what kind of house does God build, okay? If God were a carpenter, oh wait, he was, like, what kind of house would he build? When you step back and look at a house that God has built, what marks do you see? Do you see God's handiwork, or do you see someone else's? So if you ever looked in a house, or any kind of building, or I guess car too, you look at anything, you can see craftsmanship. Right, you can see really good craftsmanship, and you can see really bad craftsmanship. If you walk through my house, you can see this clearly, okay? Because a lot of different people have worked on where we've lived for a while, so you can walk through, and I could go, "Hey, Reagan," he's my older brother, I said, "Reagan did this," and they would say, "That looks nice. That looks like Reagan." I'd say, "Nehemiah did this. Like it looks nice." Jordan Jones is a kid I graduated with. He's a carpenter now. I said, "Jordan did this. See how functional this is? I'm not worried about this ever. This will be here long after I'm gone. I'm not worried about this thing." And I say, "Max did this. It works. Okay, look, like you can see this." And then we can go to the areas of the house that I said, "Josh did this. Like, what do you think?" And you can tell. And even so, our older members will know this. Gary Robinson. There are parts in my house like, "Gary did that." Okay, like you can just tell there. You can look at the handiwork. You can look at the craftsmanship and say, "This person did that," as opposed to this person doing that. So when our house is being built up, our spiritual family is being built up, we want to look back and say, "Oh, that was a house that God built." Okay, no one else did that. Okay, so what kind of house does God build? God's house, because God is a great master builder, okay, master craftsman, his house would start with a firm foundation, and that firm foundation is God's word, okay? There's an old hymn about this. God's word is a firm foundation. Jesus told us this, Matthew 7:24. Jesus says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." Quick side note, do you ever watch Reading Rainbow on television? What's the guy's name? Who's the host? What's his name? Anyway, Reading Rainbow told this story. I don't know if you knew that. You watch Reading Rainbow and get Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Verse 26, "And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So Jesus is saying, look, build your house on the word of God. Love my words. Obey my words. And man, the hurricane can come, the tsunami can come, the earthquake can come, and that house is going to be fine. The opposite of that, build your house on sand with no foundation, maybe build it on man's ideas instead of God's, and the storm's going to come, and your house is not just going to fall, but it will fall spectacularly. Okay, he says, great will be the fall of that house. Everyone will look at it and say, that was a dumpster fire. Like, that was terrible. It fell. The house that the Lord builds It's the one built on the Word of God. So back to 1 Peter 2, if the church is built up of living stones, so if you are a Christian, you are an individual living stone there, and we want to be built together then as a spiritual house, mightn't we want each stone, each individual stone, each person, each member of the church to be made of the stuff of God's Word? Wouldn't you want that? Yes, you would. You would want that. And this is how the Lord's house is built, okay? It's not built with a multitude of individuals, but those people coming together, living stones, spiritual stones, made up to be a spiritual house. So remember, the psalmist is contrasting this with a house that God builds, and then there's also one that God doesn't build, okay? There are churches all over planet Earth, churches all over the world that are built not on God's Word, that are built on something else, and they will at some time or another crash spectacularly. They will fall because they're not built of this stuff. And so that house, the one not built on the Word, guys, that is not worth putting your hand to. Okay. So you as church members, if our church is not doing stuff according to the Word of God, like, you need to call your leadership on account of that or leave, okay? That house is going to fall. You don't want to be part of that, okay? You guys, you have a standing invitation as members of this church. If we are saying, God's Word, whatever, you leave for your soul. For the sake of your family, leave. You don't want to be part of that church. And we pray that doesn't happen. You're like, it's not the aim. But man, you have a standing invite to leave if we're saying, Jesus, we can do things better than you can. So if your picture of a church, your picture of a house, it's primarily a social club where your main function of being part of a church is some weird status symbol, like in the community, like, oh yeah, I'm a church member, and parties and things like that, and you don't care that the stones are made up of the stuff of God's Word, you don't care about that, they just need to be able to play bridge. Like, that's not what the church is. Now, bridge is good, okay? I'm not saying bridge is bad. Does anyone play bridge? Scott, do you play bridge? No? A while ago? Okay, anyway, what I'm saying is God's not building that house, okay? God's not building the social club. Social stuff is fun, and it's good, but that's not what God's building primarily. He's building a different house built up of living stones made of the stuff of the Word of God. John Calvin called the church, he says she is a creature of the Word. Okay, she is made, lives, moves, has her being by the Word of God. So how does that happen? How do individual stones be built up into this spiritual house, the house that God's built? How do we get full of the Word of God? Well, in the same way that you get full of food. How do you get full of food? You eat food, okay? And it's been Christmas and we've been eating a lot of it, and it's good. It's good. So if we're going to be a house that God builds and not one that somebody else built, again, we don't want that house. It's going to fail miserably. If we want to be the house that God builds, we have to read, love, and obey God's Word individually, and read and love and obey God's Word corporately, okay? I think I said this last week too, guys. When we open up our worship services and we stand to read God's Word, like, you need to drink that and eat that. Like, that's not a throwaway time of the service. Well, here's time to stay. Like, that's not what we're doing. We're standing and honoring God's Word to open up our worship, okay? We call our team, we call them the music team. We don't call them the worship team because singing isn't, I mean, this whole thing is worship. Everything we're doing, so we stand and read God's Word, like, that is a big deal. It's a big deal. We want to love and obey God's Word corporately, okay? And that's it. It doesn't need to be much more complicated than that. If we read and love and obey God's Word individually and corporately, our house will be able to step back and say, God built that, okay? It was built on His Word, built on what He does. And the problem that we get into is we get a lot of other stuff going on in the name of God's house being built, okay? We can do activities in the name of God's house being built, and we get busy and we get distracted from everything but God's Word, okay? And I'm saying this now because it's the start of the year, and it's the end of the year, and everyone's like, okay, I'm going to read the Bible in 2018. I want to help you do that. Like, I want to fan that flame. And we don't get busy and distracted on purpose, right? No one woke up this morning and said, you know what? I think I'm going to chase shiny things instead of God's Word. No one said that. Omega might have. Omega just is a butterfly, just everywhere at once. A little over 10 years ago, Willow Creek is a massive church in Chicago, really successful church in Chicago. They hired the best consulting data gathering company in the United States to do a survey of their church, right? To figure out, because they want to ask, okay, so we've been doing ministry for this long, things look pretty good. Is what we're doing working? Go, okay. So we want to make disciples. Is what we're doing to that end? Is it working? Okay. And so what they were doing is they had every kind of program you could think up. They had it. Okay. So like, hey, we got people in our church who like tennis. Like, we're gonna start a tennis ministry. And they just anything like. They like Tic Tac, we're playing Tic, like everything they were doing that. So here's what they found. They paid hundreds of thousands of dollars to this company to come in and do that. And what they found was that as far as making disciples, it wasn't working. Okay? And Willow Creek did the right thing and they came out and said, hey, we did this survey, it's not working, we're gonna change what we're doing. Okay, we're gonna figure something else out because we want to make disciples. We want to build up the spiritual family. And so they found that their programs weren't bringing about spiritual growth in their members. It wasn't bringing about spiritual maturity in their members. You know what the survey found that was bringing maturity to their members and giving spiritual growth to their members? You won't believe it. Bible study. They're like shocked. Oh my gosh. Who would have thought Bible study would cause people to grow in Christ? So I'm not here to shame. I'm here to help and to be helped. Because I know our members, guys. Our desire is to be a house that God builds. Okay, we want to step back and say, man, God's handiwork there. God put the nail there. God built this wall. We want to be able to do that. So I just want to fan that flame today as we're making resolutions. Okay, I used to have terrible theology and make fun of people who made resolutions. Forgive me. Also, don't listen to 24-year-olds. Okay? Don't do that. I want you to make resolutions. I want you to grit your teeth and fight for those things. Okay, we want the thrust of our ministry as a church to be the Bible and prayer and relationships and service over and 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 over, and we will grow in health. You will grow in maturity. And everything else that is going to take a back seat to that, okay? Everything else. We cannot get distracted with other stuff. That doesn't mean we don't ever do other stuff. Other stuff is good. There are gifts from God, common grace from God. But guys, the thrust, the point, when you think about our church, well, they're preaching and they're praying and they're serving and they're loving one another. That's what we want over and over and over and over, okay? So we are, hopefully, if you're not, now you are after this, making plans to read your Bible in 2019, okay? That is a worthy goal. It's a simple goal, but it's a worthy goal. So I want to encourage you this morning to first, like, make a plan, okay? If I just read the Bible when I felt like it, I'd read the Bible like 3 days a year, okay? Now, you might be more spiritual than me. It's like, oh, I just would love to read it. If I don't have a plan to read my Bible, I'm probably not going to read my Bible. I guarantee most of you are that way. So whatever your plan is, make one and follow it. You've heard the adage of failure to plan is a, or you know what I'm talking about. Fail to plan is a plan to fail. You will not, here's the lie, okay, that we believe, that we kind of just wake up believing, is that I'll just kind of drift into holiness, okay, like a boat in the sea. Like, I'll just drift over here into holiness. I'll kind of wake up and just amazingly have a secret life in God. I'll wake up and have a life in the Word of God. Guys, that will never, ever happen. You won't wake up one day and have understanding of God's Word. So let's make a plan today. Now, next week, next Sunday, we're going to talk about Paul tells Timothy, train yourself for godliness. We're going to talk through some of that, and we'll hand out actual reading plans. If you don't have one, I just want to go over two today. First, the plan that I've used the last several years. I got it from Dalton Thomas. He's our missionary in Syria, and it's this, okay? And it's mind-blowing, and it's so complex, okay? So take notes. Just kidding. Choose a book of the Bible. Read that book of the Bible. And then step three is do that again. And do that again, and do that again, and do that again, and do that again. And you know what? By the end of the year, you will know a book of the Bible. It will be in So rather than not swimming at all, which is the real tragedy, or rather than just dipping your toes in 66 different pools, you will dive deep into one book. Okay, so I've done this with 2 years ago. I did Ephesians, and at the end of the year, I was like, I know Ephesians. Like, Ephesians is in me. Last year, because I knew we were going to preach through it, like I read Galatians, 6 chapters every day. Took 10 minutes every day to read a book of the Bible. So if you're like, if you just keep failing at Bible plans, like you make it through January and then you hit Leviticus and then you pick it back up in December, okay? I'm not trying to make fun. Like, we do that, okay? Like, we do that. Maybe try this plan. Maybe say, I'm gonna read the Gospel of John every day. Okay, I'm gonna read 8 chapters. Monday, 8 chapters. Tuesday, start again. And by the end of the year, guys, you will have this great picture, this great understanding, and you'll feel like you'll know this Jesus that John's talking about all through the gospel. So if a year-long reading plan has been hard for you and you're not succeeding in that, try a different plan, okay? Again, any plan is better than no plan, okay? The second plan is one that the one that I'll be using this year. I'll go into more detail next week, but it's called the Bible Project. It's free app. It's online. It's on your phone. I mean, it's everywhere. But it's going to take you through the whole Bible, but with helpful videos and teaching. So if you open up Deuteronomy and just read that thing cold, and you don't have any understanding of the story of God, you're not going to finish Deuteronomy. But if someone, you open up Deuteronomy and says, hey, here's what Deuteronomy is about, here's where it's pointing to Jesus, you're going to read Deuteronomy and go, oh, okay, I kind of get where the story is going. So that's what I'm going to use next year, and we'll do more details on that next week, okay? So pick a plan. Any plan is better than no plan. But hey, make it a worthy aim to read the Bible in 2019, and our house will be a house that God is building. I promise, okay? I don't guarantee a lot of things. I guarantee if every member of our church is feeding themselves on God's words, guys, we will grow in health and maturity, and Tonkawa won't know what to do with us. I just promise you that. Promise you. So here we go. Behold, verse 3, children are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb, a reward. Like arrows in the hand of the warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. So the house that God builds is one that's built on his word. What then is the fruit of a house that God is building? What is the result of a wall that God is watching over? What's the future of a church that's just eating the bread of the gospel? The answer is children. God will grow his church. God will give arrows to launch out of the church. Verse 3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. They are the fruit of a womb, a reward. So the house that God builds, the church that God builds, is producing something, okay? So let me just tease you a little bit here. What if we are building ourselves up, praying in the Holy Spirit, reading God's word, feeding on that, and we begin to grow in maturity? Again, if we grew numerically and we weren't healthy, I would not want that, okay? Just, I'm not interested in that. I think it would kill me. I think I would die. I think a lot of us would get hurt, and it would be terrible. But if we grew in health first, and then we began to grow numerically, let's just get crazy here. What would prevent us from planting another church in Tonkawa? Taking the best members of our church and say, hey, you're going to be a new congregation. We'll raise up and train a pastor and give you elders. And like, what's stopping that from happening? Nothing. Guys, there's 3,000 people in Tonkawa, okay? We can't pastor that many people. You know what we need for that to happen, for that many people to be discipled? What was Jesus' commission? Disciple the nations, guys? We have to have another church to do that. We can't do that. What if God did that? What if we were built up individually into a spiritual house and we just got pregnant with so many members we had to start another church? I don't know that the Lord's going to do that, but why wouldn't he? Why not? The house that God's built is going to produce them. Children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of her womb is a reward. Life comes out of her. Life comes out of her. And this life These ones that come from behind us, they are not just a heritage, okay? So a church that is not built on God's word, a church that is not one that God built, it can have children, okay? But Jesus would call them children of the devil. That's what he says. Anyone can have children. We're looking for children that are a heritage from the Lord, as opposed to just children. Anyone can do that. We want the children that God is birthing. They says they are a gift from his very hand, a reward to his church who trusted him to build the house, to watch over the wall, and to keep things running while they slept. God's going to give children in that way, okay? And then those children that we have, okay, I'm speaking of literal physical children, but also other things that God's birthing and producing, they're going to be nurtured by what they see their parents doing, okay? I had a conversation with some parents last night, and their little boy, he says, no thank you. They've never sat him down and taught him to say no thank you, but they've heard them say it, and so he's saying no thank you. Does that make sense? Monkey see, monkey do? Okay, that's discipleship. That's literally all it is. They're going to be nurtured by what they see their parents doing. So as we look at our children, as we look at those that are coming after us, what are we nurturing them with? Okay? If God is giving birth in our body, what are we nurturing them with? Are they seeing that their parents trust the Lord? Are they seeing that, like, is it clear from our actions that we say, God, we want you to build the house. We want you to stand back, look at the house, look at the walls and everything you're doing and say, wow, that was God. Are they seeing that their parents trust God to watch over the wall? Okay? Do they see that our bellies are being filled with the bread of life and not the bread of anxious toil of verse 2? Is that what they see? Okay? I see that. I do, okay? I grew up here. I'm a Christian. I'm a pastor because I grew up here in this house with these people and watched my, you know, fathers and mothers love Jesus and trust Jesus, okay? Like, if you're an older member in our church, I watched you love Jesus, and that's why I love Jesus, okay? Like, and on down the line, okay? People do this. I've watched you be joyful in God's house, okay? I tell this story a lot, but when we sing the doxology, which we're going to do today, my hands rocket up because as a fourth grader, I saw Joe Kreger's hands rocket up at the doxology. Like, that's what's happening. Watch you be compassionate with God's people, okay? Gloria works in our food pantry a lot, and Gloria, you just have your heart's full, okay? It's a barrel of, and I see that. I'm nurtured on that. And guys, I've watched you rest when everyone else is freaking out about the storm. Everyone else is going crazy, saying the world's going to hell. I've watched people in our body say, some trust in chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Like, I've watched that. So I want these little guys to see what I've seen. And those others that come behind us, I want them to see that. This is how children are raised in a house that God's built. And not only that, okay, our children might not understand now, but they will later, that, guys, we're taking a risk, okay? Anything that we're doing, like with the building stuff, I just want you to know I am just not, like, oh so confident in that. That is a serious risk that we're doing here, okay? It would be easier to not do any of this. It would be just so easy and risk-free to not do any of this, but this is where we feel that God's leading us, so we're taking a risk. And someday our kids might see that. They might not now, because they're two, whatever. But they might see that later. And we have, I'll talk about this more next week, guys, we have tough, hard things ahead of us, okay? So if you have any of this in your mind, oh, this is going to be easy, no. Be very hard. Very, 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 very hard. We want God's word for God's house, for God's children, and for God's heritage. This is what we're after, and this is what God's word promises us, okay? And if you can stand it, it just gets better here, okay? Last two verses. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. Blessed is the man who fills his quiver with them. Last line, he shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies at the gate. It's a bad verse. Will not be put to shame. So, if I haven't told you before, or if you've been living on another planet. Everyone here is going to die. Okay, Happy New Year. Everyone here is going to die. Okay, like there's an end coming for you in this age. Okay, you are going to die. You're going to speak with the enemy at the gate, so to speak. Okay, this reality. If you haven't thought about that, maybe just take some time this afternoon and think about death. Okay, I think that's a healthy thing. Just I'm going to die. There's going to be an end to my life, and I want to have a legacy and a heritage that was aiming towards loving Jesus. But I also, man, want to contemplate what God's doing in this next age with me and my body and my soul. Like, I want to think about that. Okay. So take some time here at the end of the year and think about death. It's coming for you. I don't care if you're 90 or 20, death is coming for you. You are going to die. And if we're a church, if we are people who've tried to build our house ourselves, who've tried to watch over the wall without resting and trusting God, and if we're eating this bread of anxious toil, on that day when you die, which is coming for me and for you, on that day, you will have no arrow in your quiver. You have no parting gift for the enemy at the gate. Nobody wants that. When we die, when we speak with our enemy at the gate, when we look death in the face because of what Christ has done in his living and dying, rising again, his ascension and his soon return, because of that, because of our obedience and aim to that, we get to give our enemy at the gate a nice parting gift. Look, one of me is dying. Here's five more for you to deal with. This is what we want. A heritage in Tonkawa and to the nations of a church that is built up on the Word of God. That when the storm comes and the wind rages, it stands firm and final because of Jesus. That this is what we want. So, our desire has to be, must be, that Christ is glorified in us. Okay? That's the point of all this. That Christ is seen. That every aim, every motivation of our church, so all of our thinking, all of our preaching, our singing, our acting, our living in our homes, and yes, even our building, that it is done to the glory of Christ. First in Tonkawa, and then to the nations. It has to be the aim. If it's not, it's not a house that's God's building, and we all need to find something else to do. But if it is this, we'll give ourselves to it wholeheartedly. We'll put our plan, hand to the plow and not look back. So I want to end our last Sunday service here with that declaration that everything we do is all glory to Christ. Okay? So to do that, if you are sitting in the balcony, could you please come downstairs? As we end today, if you are sitting downstairs, if you'll go ahead and stand. Just find a spot, man. You're good. They don't bite. Next Sunday, we'll have name tags to introduce the balcony to the lower level. So there's it's about 300 years old tradition at the end of the year and the start of the new year. What do people sing? Auld Lang Syne. Yeah. To farewell the old year and welcome in the new. And so what I would like us to do is we're all standing here together. We're going to sing the tune of Auld Lang Syne. We'll have the words on the screen. And then we'll finish, just thought it appropriate, we finish with the doxology in this building and trust God. Thank God for 2018 and trust Him with 2019. So as you get the tune, please sing along and it'll be really cool. It will really not be cool if nobody sings, okay? The only way you have a bad prayer meeting is if no one prays, okay? Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house in vain, its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn, all glory be to all glory. And all glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. His will be done, His kingdom come, on earth as is above. Who is Himself our daily bread? Praise Him, the Lord of love. Let living water satisfy the thirsty without price. We'll take a cup of kindness yet. All glory be. All glory. And all glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. When on that day the great I am, the faithful and the true, the Lamb who was for sinners slain is making all things new. Behold, our God shall live with us and be our steadfast light, and we shall e'er His people be. All glory be to Christ. And all glory be to Christ our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace.